Before we jump into the scripture with a heavy heart, I would just like to pray. Our country lost a lot of people this week. And it feels like, I wonder if every church took a time of intentional prayer and asked Jesus, what are you calling the church to do? Our country is not healthy right now. So maybe pray and have a moment of silence. Jesus, I pray, we need your peace, we need your justice, we need you to reign. God, I specifically pray for the black community and the police officer community, that God, we need you to be involved. God, we beg of you to use the church to somehow point this world towards you, that we would live like the kingdom of God, that we would live in a way that would suggest you are reigning on earth right now, that your prayer, God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, would become more of a reality every day. So God, also acknowledging we have no words, we quiet ourselves in silence, and we beg for your spirit to intercede on our behalf, to pray for our struggling world right now. Amen. So we are in Nehemiah chapter 7. Throughout this sermon, I actually have no slides for you. Oh, I didn't know that. I'd get a reaction out of that. Hi, Wilshire Live. I have no slides for you, but what we do have is a rolling slideshow of the people of our church. And it's just going to be one slide for each person, each family. And so what I actually invite you to do, you don't hear preachers do this, by the way. I invite you to tune me out, tune 90% of your brain off of me. And we can go ahead and start those slideshows now if that's okay. And just devote 90% of your heart and attention to the slideshow. Give me like 10%. Give me something. But as that's going, just pray for each family in your spirit. Maybe God will give you something specific to pray. If you're stuck, I put a sample prayer in your bulletin. You could just pray something as easy as, Jesus, be the center of the Reekston family. And let's just do that the entire message and give me 10% of your attention and we'll see what happens. Is that fair? Okay. So we are in Nehemiah chapter 7. And it's funny to me because Nehemiah 1-6 is about the rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah 8-13 is about the rebuilding of God's people. And then we've got Nehemiah chapter 7. A very unique chapter all in itself. There's no celebration of the wall being finished. It's just kind of this in the middle Nehemiah chapter 7, kind of its own unique little creature. And we're going to very briefly run through verses 1-5, just for all of you who are like, I want the whole book. We'll quickly run through 1-5, and in the next 65 verses, the heart of the chapter, we'll spend some time on trying to wrestle through what does this have to do with us. So here we go, verse 1. After the walls was finished, isn't that, like, that's, you think it'd be a bigger celebration. It's like, oh, and by the way, the walls were done. Okay. And I had set up the doors and the gates. The gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. I think that's funny. So Nehemiah chooses the three most important jobs they need staffed now that the walls are done. And he says, we need guards, we need singers, and we need priests. Those three. That was actually going to be my entire sermon, was on those three. Didn't work out that way. We went this way instead. Oh, well. I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah. So now we see Nehemiah's exit strategy. Nehemiah is setting up his exit and making sure the community thrives in his exit. And with that in heart, I've heard rumors, Wilshire Live, maybe the Mackey family is over there. So Mackey family, we love you. Thank you for your beautiful exit strategy and making sure our community does better in your absence. That takes a special leader, and that is what Nehemiah is doing here. And if you notice that name, Hananiah, that's actually the person in chapter 1, if you remember, way back in Susa, when Nehemiah saw him and said, "Hey, how's it going over there?" And he's the one who said, "It's going horrible." He is now going to become the leader in this community in Nehemiah's absence. Moving down in verse 3, maybe the most profound moment of the book. "I said to them, do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day." This is a pro-siesta statement that Nehemiah is saying, the hottest part of the day, all of you should be taking naps. So make sure we shut the gates so that when everyone is taking a nap, we are safe. So if you need like a pro-nap scripture, you can say, don't forget in Nehemiah chapter 7, Nehemiah said, shut the gates during the hottest part of the day. Nehemiah was pro-naps, pro-siesta, and we are too. Amen? Amen? All right. See, I didn't want to skip over that. It's good stuff. "Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve at sentry posts and some in front of their own homes." And in verses 4 to 5, it transitions into the next 65 verses of Nehemiah 7, which I'm calling, it's basically a roll call, where the frantic of building the wall and people are hungry and the taking loans out and all this stuff going on, they finish the wall and Nehemiah's like, who is even here? Like, we don't even know who is even here anymore. So the rest of Nehemiah chapter 7 is kind of like a census of, let's figure out who is exactly here in our community as we move forward. It's the roll call. And let me just be humbly honest. Looking at 65 verses of names of people, as a preacher, I'm very tempted to skip over this. The problem is I was not allowed to. B-Max, our incredible pastor, was on vacation the last couple weeks, and being so studious and forethinking as he is, basically finished his sermon, which he's doing chapters, I think, 8, 9, and 10. So he finished his sermon before his vacation. And so I'm looking at chapter 7, and I'm thinking, I cannot steal chapter 8 from Brian while he's, like, in Alaska, can I? I thought about it. So, like, I can't even skip this if I wanted to do chapter 8, because Pastor Brian is relaxing and prepared and is coming back expecting to teach chapter 8, 9, 10, and to discover Evan stole chapter 8 from him probably would not go over very well. But more problems with me skipping this is I ask questions like, do we believe that this is the inspired word of God or not? Because it's in here, right? And there's an old rule people have said, which is anything in the scripture is important. If anything is in the scripture more than once, it's really important. Well, my problem this morning is almost word for word, this section is in Ezra chapter 2. So we have this list of names that is in the Bible twice. And something inside of me is saying, it's not that important, let's skip over it. Put it in perspective, Jesus turning water into wine is in the Bible once. And we have this list of names twice. I like to talk about consumerism for a little bit, if that's okay. Consumerism can be loosely defined as it's the promotion of the interest of the consumer. It's the concept that the goal is to give the consumer as many options as possible. They are the king or the queen, and we need to serve the consumer and give them as many options that they could possibly imagine and keep them happy. That is the value of consumerism. Let me maybe use TV as an example. Consider how TV has evolved over the last two generations with consumerism as the backdrop. Who had like the old school rabbit ear TV Ours we turned on and it took like 8 minutes to actually come on. It would do like a little green line and a dot in the middle, and it was like green for a little bit, and would kind of slowly start morphing into like pictures of people. And this is what we had, see if you remember. We had channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13. Now there was channel 28. But let's be real, it was usually a telethon, maybe Sesame Street or something. And if you were really lucky, maybe if you took the 8 minutes it took to turn the channel all the way to 56, your best hope was a Twilight Zone rerun, right? On channel 56. That was TV. Those like 9 channels. And that was it. But we didn't complain about it. We were fine. And if there was a show that you liked, and it was on at 7 o'clock on channel 7, it was your responsibility to be at your couch by 7 o'clock. It didn't wait for you. You couldn't pause it. Yeah, there were VCRs that would cord, but they didn't really work. It's 9 channels, 9 shows. You submit to its timetable, and that was it. Then this thing called cable came along. I want you to observe how consumerism changed our interaction with TV. Cable came along with 100 channels. And all of a sudden we realized, whoa, I need more options. And granted, half the channels weren't very good, but it didn't matter. More options for the consumer were better. And at some point in time, having cable was no longer like the, wow, you have cable. It was the norm. You were now the outlier if you did not have cable. So we now had hundreds of channels in our rooms, but we still had to submit to the cable's schedule. At 7 o'clock was still 7 o'clock. You had to be there. I still remember very vividly when my wife and I were in Best Buy, I think fairly poor and probably having free air conditioning in Best Buy, and there was a little kiosk for a brand new company that just came out, a company called TiVo. And they had little demos going on of this technology where you could record TV and watch it live and pause it, rewind it. And I remember watching this demo thinking, this is witchcraft. How is this possible? Crystal, we need this. And Crystal, because she's much smarter than me, said, I think she said, how much is it? And it was like $1,000 when TiVo came out. And she like punched me in the arm and said, we don't need this. And I was like, no, TiVo. I wonder, the people who bought the lifetime TiVo membership, that's got to be a letdown now, right? Like, so then the TiVo era of consumerism and TV has, we've moved to the next click, where now we have Netflix, Hulu, DVR, On Demand, Amazon Prime. And now it's unlimited options, shows that aren't even on TV, shows that haven't been in syndication for decades. We can all watch them whenever we want to. You can start it at midnight if you want to and pause it and watch it the next day. Do you see how consumerism has changed the way we interact with TV? We, the consumer, rule. It's all about us. Unlimited options on our schedule, we get to dictate everything. Now, in some areas, I would actually suggest, I don't think consumerism is necessarily a bad thing. I have Netflix and I really enjoy it. But the question for this morning for me is, has this mindset of consumerism crept into the church at all? The cultural idea that we are owed as many options as possible, and it's the job of the institution to fulfill my needs the way that I want them fulfilled, has that mindset crept into the church? And how does the list of names push against that? You know, something I love to do in my job is I meet with graduating seniors that many are moving out of state, and many, for the first time, need to choose their church that they're going to join. Many of them either just grew up in a church that their parents chose. Some of them have been invited to a church by a friend that they ended up liking, and now they're moving out of state. And they need to, on their own, choose a church. So for the first time, they're asking questions like, what am I looking for in a church? And over the years of me doing this, what I found is there's three main kind of like rubrics that pop out of what a graduating senior thinks are the most important aspects of a church. And the three that I have found is they say things like this. They want a church that has music that they like, sermons that relate to them, and really cool buildings. And before we dismiss graduating seniors of like, oh, those youngins, I think most adults are actually in the same boat. Or think about adults. What church do adults gravitate to? A church that has music that they like, sermons that relate to them, and buildings and decorations that appeal to them. And what I start to try to stretch the graduating seniors in is to ask questions like, what about looking for a church that will help you discover what your gifts are and your talents? And a church that will invite you to use those gifts and talents for the church and for the community. What about looking for a church that is impacting their community and is inviting and expecting you to join them in that mission to impact the community? What about looking for a church that is going to make you uncomfortable, that will do all that they can to help invite you to resist spiritual apathy and comfortability? Looking for things like that in a church. You see, consumerism really makes me want to skip this passage, because I don't know how to make 65 verses of names interesting to you. I don't know how to relate 65 lists of names to you. I don't know how to read through 65 lists of names and have you come up to me afterwards and say, good job, Pastor. Nailed that one. But it comes back to, do we believe this is the inspired word of God or not? And is it really just a list of names? How would you respond if you were outside of a memorial wall with names on it and you heard someone say, who cares about this wall? It's just a bunch of names. Something inside of you would probably anger up and you would want to probably correct that person, right? See, it's not just a list of names. These are people. These are families. So as we look at these names, that's my response, is these are not just names. This is our ancestry. This is our family tree. These are people just like us who at one point in time on this planet ask questions like, how do we follow God in this culture? How do we pray when we don't feel God is there? How do we raise our kids? How do we spend our money in a way that honors God? They ask the questions just like we do. How do we reach those outside of our circle? How do we serve our community? How do we take care of one another? These are our ancestors, our family tree. And it's not just a list of names. See, I don't think consumerism is necessarily bad, but here's the problem. Is that faith formation and community are not products. You are not customers of Wilshire. And we are not selling you spiritual formation and community. You are priests, and we are inviting you to join in the mission of the kingdom of God. It's a big distinction. I'm going to actually read through the names. And again, tune me out, pray for our families. But I did look on a Hebrew website, and so I'm going to try to pronounce them. I looked up each name, so I can try to pronounce them the closest way possible and give them respect. So let me drink some coffee, and I'm going to read through every name on this list. Is that okay? Here we go. Parosh, Shephadah, Arah, Puhath Moab, Elam, Zaytu, Zekiah, Bahni, Babai, Asgad, Adonakim, Bigvai, Aden, Atur, Hashem, Bazai, Jorah, Gibbon, Bethlehem, Netepha, Anathoth, Beth as Maveth, Kiriath Jearim, Keth Ira, Beeroth, Ramah Jeba, Mike Mash, Bethel I, West Nebo, West Elam, Harim, Jericho, that was an easy one right there, Lod, Hadid, Ono, Sina, Emur, Pashur, Harim, Yashua, Kadmiel, Asaph, Shalom, Ater, Talmon, Akub, Hatia, Shobai, Ziha, Hasupa, Tebeoth, Kiras, Siaha, Padan, Labana, Hagaba, Shamei, Hanan, Gidel, Gahur, Reoya, Rizin, Nekoda, Gazam, Uza, Pasea, Basei, Meunam, Nefusam, Bakbuk, Hakupa, Harher, Basluth, Mahida, Harsha, Barkos, Sisera, Timah, Neziah, Hatifa, Sotai, Sophereth, Perida, Jala, Darkun, Gidel, Shephada, Hatil, Pokereth, Hazabam, Amon. There we go. I was expecting like an applause or something. Thank you. Oh, it sucks. You know, oftentimes in Jewish writings, it was very poetic, where the center would be the most important, as like a crescendo in the middle. And I wonder if Nehemiah had this in mind, because this is the center of the book. And what if the pushback on church consumerism is this? That the people, that is what is most important to God. The people. Because these are not just names, these are families, their stories, their names. And it's in the center of the book, perhaps stating, as we talk about walls and Susa and other things, let us never forget the people. For that is the heart of Yahweh. If consumerism reigned in the church, then let me push on that. Do we really believe that our children's ministry is the greatest children's ministry in entire Orange County? I love it. My kids love it. I love watching our students serve in there. I think our children's ministry is fantastic. But would any of us really state, without a doubt, we have the best children's ministry in the entire Orange County? Like, is there not one church somewhere within 30 plus miles that is a tad more efficient, that has buildings that are a tad more creative, something along that nature? Yeah, somewhere there is a children's ministry that's consumeristically better. But yet your kids are here. Is our high school ministry the best high school ministry in all of Orange County? Oh, gosh. No, it's not. From a consumeristic perspective, no. There's a high school ministry somewhere around us that has more creativity, better programming. It's better in that lens. And so what is to stop us from, let's have our kids go to that church. Our high schooler really likes to camp at that church, so let's have our high schooler go to that camp. The wife and mom loves the ministry, the women's ministry at this church, so she'll go there. And the dad loves the coffee at this church. So let's kind of like, let's, you know, where phrases like church shopping and church hopping did not exist in Nehemiah chapter 7. We've invented those ideas. That's consumerism at its core. And phrases like in 1 Corinthians 12 that we read, we are the body of Christ, and each part serves one another for the goal and the health of the body. Like, it doesn't make sense for eyes on a body. Man, look at that body over there. I might consider changing to that body because that body, I like the hair better on that body. So I'm going to move and shift my membership from this body to that body because I might enjoy that experience more. And this is not an excuse for a church to be lazy in their programming. If you see a hole, something that we could be doing better, please come talk to us. But I know if someone talks to me about something that could be better in junior high and high school, my typical response is going to be, you know what? Maybe God gave you eyes to see that hole. Let's have coffee together and talk about maybe God wants you to help be part of that solution. And I've gotten some of the best youth mentors by people noticing holes in that way. But that is different than church shopping and church hopping. Something that was really cool last week, I'm not going to share their names, but a family at our church had a health crisis go on, and so our church does what it does. It set up a meal delivery for them, and I went up to sign up to bring them a meal, and every spot was taken. There was no more available meals left to bring, and I was like, oh man, I wanted to bring them some food, and it was all gone. That's church. And as we pray through these names, you realize this. I don't believe in some unrealistic passion that Wilshire Avenue Church has the best building in Orange County, the best children's in Orange County, the best preacher now with Rob in Orange County, the best youth programming in Orange County. Sean, he's not the best worship leader. Actually, Sean might be the best worship leader in Orange County. Scratch that one. But apart from that, I don't believe that we have all of those best ministries in Orange County, but you know what I do believe? We're the only church in the world with these names. This is our Nehemiah chapter 7, the names of the community. And let's not take that lightly. This is everything. My favorite preacher, theologian is N.T. Wright. I read his books, I read his devotionals, I listen to his podcasts, but he is not part of my community. He does not send me cards in the mail saying he's praying for me, like some of you do. He does not hold my kids, like you do. He does not drive me and my family to my airport and pick us up from the airport like you have. He doesn't ask me questions like, how is your marriage doing? How is parenting going? Like you guys do. N.T. Wright will not bring me food when my wife is sick. Consumerism does not work in the church because it is not a product of community and faith formation. Just today, as an example, what if we've been praying for these families? Do you realize the families of our church, they're going to experience 300 people praying for them this morning? You can't get that other places. I'm sorry. It is Wilshire's responsibility to do all that we can to set up an environment where your faith is poured into, that we encourage you, that we help you discover how to follow Jesus. We need to do those things, and programming is very important, so I'm not dismissing programming. But when it comes down to it, those programs and the walls in Nehemiah, they do not define who we are. the names of the people, in our commitment to Christ in our community, that defines who we are. And my almost plea for us this morning is this, that we would resist the temptation of church consumerism. I guarantee you, you could look elsewhere and find us maybe a style of music or something that would appeal to you a little bit better. But what are you giving up to receive that? You're giving up community. You're giving up the names. And by the way, if your name is not on here, what a great invitation this morning to say, give us your name. Give us your info. Let us more aware of who you are. So on the prayer cards and the bulletin, write your info on there and say, I want to be more connected in this community, and give us your name and your contact info. Because if your name is not on here, it's not because we don't care, it's because we don't have you in our database for whatever reason. So let me end on this idea. As we are the only church in the world with these names on it, consider things in Wilshire Avenue and downtown Fullerton as they pop up. If you see needs, if you see that we're struggling, if you see we could be doing something better, consider your role not as a customer who's owed something better, but what if your role is a priest? And the Spirit of God has given you a unique vision to see the problem. And maybe the Spirit of God is rising and raising you up, not to complain, not to leave, but to use your unique gifts to help, to lead, to better impact our community, both here and around us. Nehemiah chapter 7. It's kind of a beautiful chapter, isn't it? Let's pray. God, I repent of whatever it is inside of me that wanted to skip over this, to preach something easier, but to stop and say, God, what does it mean to be a part of your family? What does it mean to sit back and to just be reminded of the beauty of family, the beauty of community? To almost take a step back from polished preaching, the easy cut application, and just to be reminded of the simplicity and the beauty of we are a family of God knit together by you. And we are called to do things like bringing each other meals, to pray for one another, to hug one another, and to be the bride of Christ. Help us to reclaim that idea and to push back on consumerism, God. Amen.
Thank you, Evan.